you're new here, those of you watching online, those of you in person, if you're new, just please fill out a connection card. We're not trying to bother you or nothing like that. We're just trying to make sure you stay connected to what we're doing here at TCF. Amen. And then if you don't like us, then you can unsubscribe later. But we just need to know you. Amen. Don't leave out here the door before I say something to you. Hallelujah. All right, so it's Palm Sunday. I'm excited. This is one of my favorite times of the year because it causes me to reflect on all of what Jesus has done, our Savior has done. And I'm telling you, sometimes we take these moments of the year so lightly. Oh, it's just another time. Oh, no, it's not. This is big. You know why this is big? Because this is what affected all of the universe. That God himself walked the face of the earth and he dwelt among us. Amen. And so as I was thinking, I was like, you know, on Palm Sunday, I never preached anything about Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And let's go to verse 37 through verse 40. This is not going to be a long message, but I just want to throw some things out to your attention, lay a couple things on your heart and mind this morning. Amen. Then as he was now drawn near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. That's important. Verse 38 says, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39, it says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40 says, but he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones should immediately cry out. Amen. I want to talk to you really briefly. I won't let a rock cry out. Amen. So Palm Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that are happening on Palm Sunday. A lot of things you don't understand that a lot of social, governmental things were happening on Palm Sunday when Jesus made his triumphant entry in Jerusalem. I don't have a lot to talk to you about that, but I also was going to preach a message fit for the master's use this Sunday. But I just felt that the Lord just wanted me to stay here with praise for a moment. Because I think that's really important, because a lot of times we don't stand firm in our praise with God. And we allow our praise to be conditioned on who's around us, what's going right our way, and all of those things. And we don't just praise God to praise God for who he is. And what I think about Palm Sunday is Palm Sunday was an extravagant day of praise. It was an extravagant day of praise. The Bible would tell us in all of the Gospels how that people would lay out their cloaks before Jesus as he was riding on the colt, and the colt was accompanied with the donkey as they were riding along. Ladies and gentlemen, it was almost like they laid out a red carpet before Jesus as their cloaks were being thrown, because they said, oh my God, the Messiah is here. See, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't fully understand his full coming in his first coming. And so they praised God with the idea that he was coming to set up his kingdom already. But they were not knowing that they were just praising for a future event. Because what he came to do right now was bigger than that. Because right, he was coming so that you could get into that kingdom. Because you want him to set up a kingdom, but your soul ain't right to be fit for that kingdom. And so what he does is he dies on the cross for you and I, ladies and gentlemen. He gives up himself. He, ladies and gentlemen, God himself took on flesh so that he could be pierced, beaten, bruised, so that you and I could no longer have war with God or be at war with God, but now we can have peace with the Father. And so they were praising God. The Bible would tell us that there was a loud stir, ladies and gentlemen, that Jerusalem was in an uproar, that Jerusalem was, the people in the city were going crazy because Jesus was entering in, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why they were going crazy is because they started hearing. It was so crazy in Jerusalem that the children, ladies and gentlemen, even the children were running around in the temple and saying, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord." The reason why we say Hosanna is because they were saying, "Save us." They didn't know, they were thinking that Jesus was going to save them right away physically, but he came to save them spiritually first, and then he's going to do the rest. Amen. Because the reality of the matter is that Jesus was on an assignment to bring us back to where we fell because of the first Adam. And because of what Adam did, because of the sin of one man, hallelujah, through the death and the obedience of another, you and I now have life. And so what makes this so great, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason why I love this and the reason why we are hearing this text is because Luke gives us a little bit more insight as to what was going on and why people were so mad. Because the reality is that even the Roman Empire, emperor was coming from the other side and Jesus was coming in from the other side. But the reality is that some of the other gospel writers kept us away from trying to make Jesus into that, because they, after a while, they knew that wasn't the purpose of his first coming. Yeah. But Luke tells you, the historian, Luke tell you, oh, they were big mad. That's what they would say. They were extremely upset because why is this guy getting all of this praise? That's it. Why were the people so enamored, and why were they? Because they thought and believed that their Savior had come. And this is what I like this passage, because in Luke, ladies and gentlemen, on this Palm Sunday, we begin to see some more, is because what happens is that they're worshiping and they're praising and they're in an uproar because they recognize, they're saying, "Save us," because they believe Messiah has come. So what does that mean? That number one, they praised because of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't have the full understanding, right. The understanding that they did have was enough, and that's why they praised.
That's right.
Though you may not fully understand, the little that I do understand that he's worthy of praise.
That's right.
That's what I do. And so what I like about this is that they're praising him, and Jesus understands they don't have the full understanding, but he didn't stop them. And the reason why he didn't stop them, because they didn't tell a lie.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The reason why he didn't stop them, because there was no lies there. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He did come to save them. There was no lies told. Even though their understanding didn't fully comprehend what was going on, there were no lies told. And what happened is it upset the Pharisees so bad, where they were saying, "Hey, teacher, why don't you stop them from doing what they're doing?" And he said, "No. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." What he's saying is, listen, if they don't praise me, my very other creation will praise me. If my highest form of creation, which is man, don't praise me, the next form, the stones will cry out. Take them to Psalm 96 really quickly. Psalm 96. He said, even the rocks. I want to explain something to you. God don't necessarily need you to praise him. His own nature will praise him for himself. Verse 11 said, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be what? Glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Verse 12 says, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. The reality is that he don't need you to praise him. God don't have no shortage of praisers. Oh my God. When the sun does what it does, it praises the Lord. When the moon stays and does what it does in place, it praises the Lord. When you see the wind going and doing what it's doing, it's praising the Lord. And creation, ladies and gentlemen, is praising God on a daily basis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When it rains, it's praising God. Hallelujah. The reality of the matter is God don't have no shortage of praisers, but his highest form of creation, which is man, ought to give God praise because you got a little bit more to be thankful for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the reason why nature praises its creator the way that it does is because of how the creator has kept creation. How do I know this? Because in Matthew chapter 6, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, if the Father take care of the lilies of the field and he covers the grass, and if he does all of that for nothing that is below what his highest creation is, then what do you think that he's going to do for you? So if he's able to supply the nutrients for the trees, the grass, and all of that stuff like that out there, what makes you think that he won't do that for you? So why are you and I so worried when the Bible tells us that in everything, give God thanks, for it is the will of God concerning you? That I told you before, that we don't give God thanks because everything great happens in our lives. We give God thanks in everything because God is still in control no matter what situation we find ourselves in. He's worthy to be praised because I praise him on the simple fact of who he is. And because of who he is, I can worship him because that is what he is due. A king is due just praise. A king is due the honor that's due his name. When you are under the king, then you know that you praise the one who supplies all your need. That you know that he's a provider, he's a sustainer, that he's a keeper, that you know that he's a lover of your soul, that you know that he's a comforter when you don't feel like you have anyone around you. That God says, I am, and so the I am becomes anything you need him to be. And that's why I worship him, because of it. That's what happens. Are you hearing me? And so here we have to understand that in Luke chapter 19, what we're seeing here is that they're rejoicing, and even though they don't have the full understanding. Though you may be new to the faith, that doesn't mean that you know enough because you experienced something at the time you gave your life to Jesus.
That's it.
You know enough to praise. Psalm 89 verse 8 says this: O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. That's so crazy. He said his faithfulness surrounds him. Your faithfulness is saying that God's faithfulness surrounds him. That is a crazy thing to think about. Verse 9 then says, I didn't get that. Go to Psalm 145, verse 3. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That means no matter how hard you search, you're still going to keep finding, like, in all of God, because he's not so easy for you to comprehend, because he's so big, he's vast. His greatness is so unsearchable. Hallelujah. And so we see here, ladies and gentlemen, that he doesn't let a rock cry out. And he said, I won't let a rock cry out because they are worshiping me and they're praising me because of who I am. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, what I like is I won't let a rock cry out for me because what I've seen and experienced. Jesus do. Here in verse 39, go back to verse 39. Verse 37. And that's where it says it right there in verse 37. Verse 37. Then it says, then he was now drawn near the descent of the Mount of Olives, for the multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the what? Mighty works they had seen. They had just witnessed. Oh my God. They had just witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They had just witnessed it with their own eyes. People have heard about it. They couldn't believe it. Why couldn't they believe it? Because it's the first time that they've seen something like this. Because they never seen nothing like this before. And there was attributing the fact that this man is a miracle worker. And so if he can do this, surely he got to be the Savior. Surely he has to be the Messiah. See, ladies and gentlemen, what people don't understand your praise is because they think it's from a place of ignorance. They think it's from a place of are mindless. They think that people who are, see, people really think us Christians only praise God because we're ignorant, we're not educated, and all of that stuff. No, you got it wrong. Actually, we're very educated. We're very smart. We don't praise God from a place of mindless. No, we praise God from a place of knowing and seeing and experiencing what he's done for me. That's why I don't want to keep quiet. See, the reality is the world wants us to keep quiet and dumb down our faith and dumb down what we believe and dumb down by not being open with our mouths and praising our God outwardly. They so mad about even football players saying the name of Jesus, where they took C.J. Stroud, they took it out of his commentary, out of his interview, because they didn't want the name of Jesus being praised on national television. Because guess what? He knew that God kept him from where he was in L.A. to get him to play football where he is now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, don't you get too big to the point where you forget that it was God who got you where you are. When you're done struggling and getting through, you better be reminded that it wasn't the goodness of God that got me to where you were. It wasn't of your own intuition. It was only a great God who moved you and guided you into where you are. Say, I hear you. See, you have to understand today, we praise God from a place of experience. Listen, let me tell you something. You say, I don't got enough experience. Well, just live a little longer. The old folks say, you live a little longer, you're going to get something to praise God about. It don't matter how small it is, even to the little kids, even to the little children. It don't matter. Whatever God, oh, I thank God because I got food on my table. That's something to thank God for. There's other people who don't have any food. There's people who are struggling, but I thank God my light's still on. My phone is still on. I'm still able to do what I need to do. I may not have everything I need, but it's enough to give God praise.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I experienced somebody. I know I got some testimonies in here that he healed your body. There's something to praise him for. There's somebody who was kept from an accident. There was somebody kept that could have been care. And you know it. I got something to thank God for. I had a umbilical cord wrapped around my neck 2 times in a knot. I'm not supposed to be here, but I got breath in my body, and I'm a praise God. Shout hallelujah. My Jesus in here. Hey, I got another praise report for you. Little baby Avani that I was talking about, Lasagna's granddaughter. I got a text message on Tuesday, and they said the baby was able to pass her breathing test. It don't matter how what God does, just breathe on the lung. And on everything that God breathed, it's to praise God. I got a reason to praise him this morning. I got a reason to praise him.
They said Tuesday she passed her breathing test. Hallelujah. She on her way out of there. They were like, I don't know how she did it, but she did. I know how she did, because the people of God prayed on Sunday and said, lung, get on up. Come on and develop.
You got to have experience. I don't praise God out of ignorance. It's a genuine thing. It's a genuine thing, and it's unique to me. Why? Because all of us go through the same experience of life, but all of us go through different situations, and all of our situations are unique to us. You can't tell somebody how they're going to praise because their praise is different than yours. You have to be okay with that. The reason why is because you don't know what God saved them from. You don't know what they seen with their own eyes. You don't know that they were people that growing up in some bad world and worldviews and environments, and yet God has saved them and preserved them. You just don't know anyone's story for you to be able to judge where they are and what they're doing, because you don't know it was the goodness of God that brought them where they are. And how dare us not give God praise because you don't feel like it. Praise don't got nothing to do with your feelings. God don't got, it ain't nothing to do with your feelings. See, you don't want to praise God because you in your feels.
All of us get there where we don't necessarily feel like praising God. But just because you don't feel it, all you're doing is the rocks are just crying out louder. How dare you? How dare you get in your feels? How about if God got in his feels concerning you every time you missed a mark? Every time he had to come and preserve you when you didn't listen? And oh my God, how about the time when God can be in his feels when you didn't cry out for a blessing and you don't even obey him? Come on in here, somebody. If God be in his feels, you and I would be in trouble. But the reality is, because he's not, he don't do things on his feelings, and because his faithfulness surrounds him, what happens is his faithfulness reminds him to be faithful to you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about feeling like praising God. It's not always about that. Because if praise is based on my feelings, then it would be very fickle. Because you and I are fickle people. It's the truth. Why? Because it's what we've seen. If what you've seen God do, is it worth throwing it away because something he did not do? Is God not due praise because the one thing you prayed for didn't happen?
Come on.
That family member you prayed for healing, it didn't happen in the way you thought.
That's it.
Is he still not worthy? Is he still not worthy after the trauma? During the trauma? After tragedy? Is he still not worthy even in it? Is he still not God? Let me tell you something that I've experienced in my life. There are certain things, ladies and gentlemen, that my praise goes to another level when I see another level of God's character revealed to me. Next levels that I see is because God has expressed himself in a certain way. Ladies and gentlemen, in the season that I was in, just in, I've seen, not that I haven't seen God be a provider, but I've seen some of the supernatural workings of God like never before in this season. And I said to myself, that elevated my praise because I know what was there and I know what wasn't. There's some things that, and even this season, ladies and gentlemen, I'm praising God even more, not even just about the provision, but I praise God even in this season of life I'm in, is because God has revealed himself so greatly to me as such a person who's infinite in wisdom. Because there are things that I don't know. There's things that I have under my hands now that I don't necessarily know how to connect it all, but God has been giving me such wisdom to be able to put things in certain places strategically, and not only just for myself, but the men and women of God who I serve, to be able to know how to speak to them and get them where they are. I know that wisdom ain't something that you pray, but that's something that I praise God for even more. It's because the wisdom of God, he is so strategic. He is so calculated to the fact that if you just listen, he will be able to just move you and you just sit there and wait. Here's what I realized. I was about to get in my feels, y'all, concerning this. And then the Holy Spirit had to remind me what he told me in November. He said, listen, you're going to go through a season of inconvenience. You got to remember. I told you this already. I don't know why you're looking at this. And I don't know why you're getting mad. I told you this already. I had to get reminded. Sometimes all of us got to get reminded. I told you this already. You're going to have an inconvenient season. They don't want to give it to you, but they're going to yield it to you. You got to wait. I thought it was all right. We want to do this. Woo, we going full steam ahead. The wisdom of God, just sit. It's going to yield. Just be wise. Stack. Stack. Just keep stacking. Uh-huh. Be wise with the funds. Buy them chairs. Because you're going to have to prepare for who coming. After this week, you're going to see another influx. Just keep on stacking, stacking. Get your team, get the team together. Ministers in training, get them together. Because they got to be ready to handle the people that's coming.
Get the staff together. They got to be ready. Why? It's the wisdom of God. Not only that, you serve pastors. I pastor pastors who destiny changers they have in service today. Y'all pray for them because they also are in a building thing right now. And so what you going to do? Just tell them stack. Do what the mothership is doing. Stack. Till it opens, stack some more. Because what's going to happen is the earth is going to yield to you its fruit. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you got to realize the earth is going to yield it to you, but you just got to keep and be in position. And guess what? And that's what takes it. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to praise. Because what I'm seeing is God is just elevating things. And I've been praying for a certain number every month for the church, and it's been happening more over that. I'm just going to keep praising and keep doing what he says to do, because I'm seeing it with my own eyes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Here's the thing. The reason why we don't praise is because you're not seeing right. You're seeing a certain thing, right? But it's not the thing in which you want to see yet. God is not concerned. Listen, that's why faith is important. We walk by faith and not by sight, because it's through faith that I praise. If I saw sight, I wouldn't praise. I praise because of faith.
That's it.
I praise out of a place of faith. That's better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's from that place I'm praising for what I don't see. Yeah. How do I know this? Come here, Joshua. Come here, the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. We going to march.
Wow.
We going to march.
Yeah.
One time. All right, we march. You got to do it again. The wall is still up, though. I don't know what we're doing, but he just said march. He want us to march around this big thing 7 times. I guess we got to do it. One. I'm just going to keep marching. I'm going to keep marching. We don't see it yet, but he said it. He said it. He said it. I'm just going to keep walking around. See, a lot of times you get frustrated because you're still walking. And I'm not moving forward. I'm just keep going around the same thing. Lord, I need to see something else in my vision. No, no. Just keep looking at that wall. This is boring. Don't worry about it. It's boring. Keep walking around the wall. Oh, I still need some more money. Keep your eyes. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm still looking for a man. Well, just keep walking. How am I going to keep walking in a circle I ain't going to see? Because it's going to be in your vicinity. I'm praying for a wife, Lord. Oh, just keep walking. Oh, just keep on going. Because you don't want to do what it takes. This is the discipline right here. To just walk right here, walk around the wall, and then stop. Because on the 7th time, you're going to praise in a loud shout. And that shout was enough to bring down that wall. It wasn't the shout, it was the obedience that brought down the wall. And the shout just confirmed what already God was going to do. But God was testing your obedience to say, will you let a rock cry out? Will you get frustrated? Will you murmur or you complain like your parents did? Or will you just say, hey, I'm just going to trust him. We already out here this far. We might as well see what the end's going to be. And just shout unto God with a voice of triumph and give the enemy notice that we are here. Look at somebody, say, don't let a rock cry out for you. Don't let a rock cry out for you. Lastly, this is what I learned from this text. We heard, I want to take this bad theology out of your mind really quick. Praise does not confuse the enemy. I want you to hear me. When people use that term, it's because it was a natural enemy that was confused with praise and all that stuff like that, right? But I'm going to give you something. Praise doesn't confuse a devil that knows what praise does. So he can't be confused. He was one that led worship in heaven. How would that confuse him? Here's what praise, I just want to, I don't want to hear nobody in TCF saying that bad theology because you can get it from me. That's right. You got it from somebody. He was there. He was actually in the praise when God created all of this. I want you to understand, sometimes we put stuff out there because it sounds good. Praise confused the enemy. No, it don't. Because it gives him the idea that he's ignorant. He's not ignorant. Matter of fact, he's more wise than what you are. And I am at times. Because he's very cunning. Right? And you have to, in order for you to understand how to defeat an enemy, you got to know a little bit of his background. That's why the Bible puts it in there. Because he lets you know he's not coming from an ignorant place. He comes from heaven's throne. Because he was there in the praise. He helped in the praise. He ushered the praise. Why you think that music sometimes and how the music can go? Because listen, he knows it's a vehicle. He knows what it does. Praise doesn't confuse the enemy as much as it makes him angry. It disturbs him, not confuse him. It upsets him. Why does praise upset the devil? I tell you why. Praise upsets the enemy for this one reason. It's because you have kept God in the place where he belongs. You have kept God in his rightful place. Right? When you are not in a mode of praise and you allow life to suck in your praise and to take the life out of you, that makes the devil more proud, because now the worship is not to God. The worship has deflected to something else. Why? Because the devil does not like anyone to praise God. He rather be praised more than him. You have to understand, this devil that we fight against is egotistical. He has a very big ego. So anytime he can prove to God that his people will not be rightful to continue to praise him despite what is going on in their lives, if he can prove that, then he can show up to God and say, I told you. Because he's an accuser of the brethren. So he will make an accusation. His accusation to Job was that, listen, he won't praise you if you take all the good stuff he had from him. He won't praise you. He'll curse your name. That was the deal in heaven. God said, bet. We'll take the bet and we'll see what happens. We'll see. All right, this is what you're going to do. You can take everything you want from him. You can't kill him. All right? We see that with Job. Yeah. He took all the stuff, all the thing like that. Even though Job was going through it and Job talked about it, vented, was mad at God and wanted to die, yet he still had a praise. Because though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is a praise. Said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? The reality of the matter is, y'all, is that when we continue to praise God and give him what he's due, that will continue to upset the enemy around. And guess what? Because we saw it with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were so upset. They were like, you know, silence them. Make them be quiet. Because what happens is when you praise God, even yet you're in the storm tries to get even more crazy to try to silence your voice. Have you ever noticed that when you're almost out of the storm, it seems like it gets even harder? Why? It's because trying to silence your voice. Because in the storm, you found out, oh my God, praise is getting me through. Let me tell you something. There was a time in our family's life, man, that we had deaths back to back, back to back, back, back to back. I mean, they weren't distant people. I mean, it was close family, close aunts. Oh my gosh. When I first became a pastor, the first two funerals I did was my uncle and aunt. And that was a month apart from each other. Went through a season of things were just so hard. It just felt so hard. 2017, I will always say this, was one of the roughest years in our family life and even in my life personally. 2017, granddad went down. No, it wasn't. It was 17. Because 17 is what happens is that 2017 is he almost didn't make it, but he made it through.
2018 is when he officially passed. Yeah. But 2017, what happened is him and my Uncle John were having the same procedures on the like a week apart from each other. And so not only that happened, but then another uncle had a brain aneurysm. Then not only that, my Uncle Landis, who preached here, he was still dealing with his kidney issues. Then not only that, on top of that, we had the church going on, and then people were acting crazy. I said, oh, God, what did I sign up for? I said, this ain't it. You know, after the year, I'll probably just hang it on up and just, it is what it is. We had a good run, y'all.
Well,
we had a good run, right? And so all of this stuff was going on, man, and, you know, you're trying to struggle to keep things up and all of that stuff like that. You know, you're giving the last of your stuff out and all of this stuff like that. Yeah, and you're just trying to keep on going. Yeah. But somewhere along the line, around the fall of that year, things started loosening up, even though I was still in the fire. Because I started realizing, I'm like, well, you know, praise has been keeping me this far. And for some odd reason, I've been trying to wear the garment of depression, the garment of anxiety. Let me just change my clothes for a second and put on a new garment. Put on a new garment. Matter of fact, Dawn, run and get me my thing. I gotta start changing up a little bit, because either I'm going to stay in where I'm at or I'm going to make a different decision. And what happened is that I started feeling like the talks that the enemy was having with me, I started overcoming and beating them in it. Because I was like, no, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to throw off that garment. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for my heaviness. And I'm just going to put it on for a second, because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide. I'm just gonna put on my garment here, and I'm just gonna trust in the Lord with all my heart, not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he's gonna direct my path. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the reality of the matter is I started having to throw scripture back at him like Jesus did, and just say, like, hallelujah, though the weapons may form, it's not going to prosper. They can lie and say all they want to say and do what they want to do. I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Even young lions go hungry, but those who trust in the name of the Lord shall not lack anything. I'm just going to keep my trust in God. I'm just going to keep on walking with the Lord. And as I was walking, my strength was coming back. And as I was walking, my peace was coming back. And as I was walking, the joy of the Lord started strengthening me. Because when I realized, like, wait a second, I'm a child of God. And what happened is that the enemy tried to come like a roaring lion, but he don't got no bite, so he can't do nothing anyway. And so all I'm gonna keep doing is, as he gets louder, I'm gonna get louder back at him, cause he's under my feet. He's under your feet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So he can get upset, let him be upset underneath, cause that's where his place is. His place is not here.
Yes, sir.
It's under here. He is the scum of your shoe. It ain't no way in the world. Don't have no conversation with an assassin. You tell him, because he's trying to kill you. He's trying to steal and destroy, take the destiny of your life, and trying to sift you out as wheat. But we thank God today. And that's why we don't let a rock cry out, because God, Jesus, is making intercession for you and I. And so we don't have to worry when things come up, because guess what? If he's interceding, that means he's intercepting. Hallelujah. He's intercepting depression. He's intercepting that anxiety. He's intercepting that. And he's going to say, if you just exchange it for a second, put on a new garment and see what happens when you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because when that heaviness lifts up, that praise gets even more louder.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And so I came to encourage us. We need to do what they did on Palm Sunday. When life gets louder, you get louder to it. You stand up to it. And you tell it what your God is. And you tell it who you are in Christ. That I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. That I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased of God. And so you can't take me until God is ready to take me. Because he that begun a good work in me shall complete it until the day of Christ. I've been young and now I'm old, but I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Don't let no rock cry out for you. Because if you don't praise, they will. If you don't praise, the rocks will. If you don't praise, nature will praise. Hallelujah. And guess what? As you praise him, it changes you. Oh, my situation's the same, but it's going to change you. Because I got a new perspective. I got a new attitude now. Hallelujah. I think I can keep on going now. You know, I think I can keep running the race. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I'm not going to make them be quiet. Hallelujah. I'm not going to make them be quiet. My guilt and shame has been arrested on that cross. The blood has covered it. I'm not going to be ashamed. Though I may have fallen, God has kept me. Though I may sin and may have stripped me up, I'm not going to stay in that. Because I've been delivered. I've been set free. The blood is covered. I'm going to wake up and get up and praise to you, the Lord. We need to remember praise is not about you. It's about Jesus. We have to remember today, praise ain't about goosebumps going up your spine. Praise is because God is due it. No one else is due glory other than a God that's proven himself. Are you hearing me? Why get caught up in the rock crying out for you? Why allow somebody to say, why are you praising God? You need to be quiet. Why do I got to be quiet for? Huh? Why us as church folk, people of believers, have the world tell us, oh, we shouldn't be loud about our faith. You should never try to put your faith on anybody else. You make me spend money. You want to make me spend money on things every day. You hear the hypocrisy? They ain't seen. That's right. And they ain't want, and some of them don't want to see. Because if any man comes to him, he'll reveal himself to him. He said, draw near unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. God is not far. He's very near. He's so near that the moment your eyes become open, he will reveal himself. He was so near to Paul that he knocked him off of his horse. Knocked him off and say, dude, why are you kicking against me for goals? Why are you trying to do that? Get yourself off of that. You're going to serve me. Why? Because there's a destiny on your life. Too much playing on your life. Y'all hear me in this room this morning? So what we going to do on this Palm Sunday? We going to praise God. What you going to do throughout the week, no matter what it throws at you, you going to praise. Come on, I bet you give it a test drive. I tell you, David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. What type of praise are you willing to give to God? Come on, what type of praise are you willing to give to God? What type of thanks is he doing? Don't look at me. You tell it to him. You tell it to him. I don't force nobody to praise. Because all I got is a memory of what Jesus has done for me. He saved me. He gave me a new identity. He gave me purpose. He gave me a plan. And I thank him for it. I thank him for it through many dangers seen and unseen. Hey, he's kept my life. He's preserved my family. He's kept my son. He's kept my wife. He kept my family. Even in the most hardship of times, we thank him for it. That's why we always say praise is always in order. Because in everything, he's glorified. He's to be thanked.
needs to be worshipped. Because if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't think of enough.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever's trying to come up against you, I dare you get loud at it and say, my God, he is bigger. He's greater. He's greater than the world against me. Hallelujah. 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 Take your palm and raise it under heaven. Raise it under heaven. Give God the loudest shout of praise. You got it here. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sea, our God is to be thanked in the city of our God. Yes!
Know Jesus, I give you the opportunity to know him.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody sing.
We wanna see you.
Say hallelujah, everybody say hallelujah. know him today. He died that you may have everlasting life, that you have peace with the Father today. Don't leave out of here and not know who Jesus is. If you want to be rededicated to Jesus, come back home today. It's not that he left, you did. But he got his arms all open and say, come back home. If you need a church home, today is the day. I would love to be your pastor and serve and do life with you. If you need a church home, meet us down here. Pastor Dom is ready to receive you today. I feel God in this room. I feel the glory of God. Hallelujah. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. Those of you who are in the person, in room, and online. Hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again. In Jesus' name, I want to make you the Lord over my life. If you said that for the very first time, text that number. If you want to partner with the church, you can do that right now. Make your way down. We want to cheer you on. Amen. Hallelujah. We give it up for her. She didn't make a decision to join and partner with us today. Amen. TCF, you got a new family member. Yeah. Embrace her. Yeah. Yeah. Ah. I feel that right there. All right, let's see. Let's repeat this again.